I certainly believe we have been led very well in our worship so far. Jeff has led us in some very meaningful, some very powerful songs. Russ very capably led us in prayer earlier. And I appreciate the forethought of that prayer, the spirituality evident in that prayer. And I think he led us very capably in that. We have, of course, also been led in the remembrance of the Lord's death and the Lord's Supper. Appreciate very much the thoughts that Brett presented to prepare us for that. We have given back to the Lord to support the most important work in the world. We've already done some really, really good things. I don't ever want what goes on here every Lord's Day to become monotonous to us. What we do here together is truly life-changing. It really is. And let's try to each and every Lord's Day approach it in that way. If we really, really participate, absorb these things, and sing with understanding and with the Spirit, and we engage in these prayers as we ought to, if we properly remember the Lord, all of that will result in significant life changes for us. Make us better prepared for our eternal home. There's a dear sister that lives down in Troy, and she has been determined to find some people who are willing to study the Bible. She has talked to just about everybody in her neighborhood, and she's been successful with a few of those people, but some of those leads have become a little dry lately, and so she just decided to get a phone book out, and I know that's, not many people get the phone book out anymore, but she just decided to call around, and she found a man that lives down in Goshen, Alabama, who was and still is willing to study the Bible. And I've been asked to help out with that study, and so far we've had, I believe it's 4 studies with this man, and he is very, very interested. And the studies have gone very well. The lesson that I'm going to preach this morning is one that we did just a few days ago with him, trying to prepare him for some things that we're going to be looking at a little bit later on, so kind of laying a foundation for some things. But it occurred to me as we went through the lesson that I need that lesson every bit as much as he does. You need that lesson just as much as he does. And so let's go ahead and begin that. Here in Isaiah chapter 66, verses 1 and 2. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. Some translations word it as those that God will look favorably upon. This is the person that God will look favorably upon. One who is poor and of a contrite spirit. Some translations say a humble and submissive spirit, and who trembles at my word. I don't know about you, but when I read passages like that, it makes me think, okay, I think I get what he's saying, but it would be nice if I had an example. It would be nice if I had an example of someone who did exactly what this passage is talking about, so I can see what that looks like. I need to see what that looks like. When someone really does have a poor and contrite spirit, someone who really does tremble at God's word. I believe we have several examples in Scripture, but I want us to look in particular at the example of King Josiah. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. And we're going to start reading here in verse 14 in just a moment. And go ahead and prepare yourselves. We're about to have a fairly lengthy reading. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, just to give a little bit of background to this so that the text itself will make more sense. When King Josiah came to the throne, the temple was in a mess. It was in a state of disrepair. And Josiah knew that didn't need to continue, and so he ordered that repairs be made on the temple. People were sitting there to get this place straightened up. Money was supplied to make sure they had what they needed to get the job done. Well, in the course of that, there's going to be a very interesting discovery made while they're cleaning up the temple. And you'll see that as we read through this text. 2 Chronicles 34, let's begin with verse 14. And we're going to read all the way through verse 33. Chapter 34, beginning in verse 14. Now, when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. It's a pretty significant discovery, don't you think? Then Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan. So Shaphan carried the book to the king, bringing the king word, saying, all that was committed to your servants they are doing. And they have gathered the money that was found in the house of the Lord, and have delivered it into the hand of the overseers and the workmen. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. Thus it happened, when the king heard the words of the law, that he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded Hilkiah, Ahikam the son of Shaphan, Abdon the son of Micah, Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah, a servant of the king, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me, and for those who are left in Israel and Judah, concerning the words of the book that is found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out on us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do all according to all that is written in this book. So Hilkiah and those the king had appointed went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tokath, the son of Hezrah, keeper of the wardrobe. She dwelt in Jerusalem in the second quarter. And they spoke to her to that effect. Then she answered them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring calamity on this place and on its inhabitants. All the curses that are written in the book which they have read before the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath will be poured out on this place and not be quenched. But as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, in this manner you shall speak to him. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before God when you heard his words against this place and against its inhabitants, and you humbled yourself before me and you tore your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, says the Lord. Surely, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace. And your eyes shall not see all the calamity which I will bring on this place and its inhabitants. So they brought back word to the king. Then the king sent and gathered all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. The king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the Levites and all the people, great and small. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant which had been found in the house of the Lord. Then the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in this book. And he made all who were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin take a stand. So the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. Thus Josiah removed all the abominations from the country that belonged to the children of Israel, and made all who were present in Israel diligently serve the Lord their God. All his days they did not depart from following the Lord God of their fathers. On this one will I look, Isaiah said, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. What does that look like? It looks like Josiah. It looks like Josiah in the reading we just did here in 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Just to make sure that all of this doesn't just sort of run together, and let's try to pick out some significant things from this reading, just so that we have a really good grasp of what happens here. First of all, let's talk about how Josiah reacted when he heard the word of God. Look there in verse 19. Thus it happened when the king heard the words of the law that he tore his clothes. You don't do that unless you're absolutely distraught at what you've heard. And what he has heard is that he is wrong, and the people are wrong. What he has heard is that they're not pleasing to God. That's why he tears his clothes. Verse 27, because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before God, when you heard his words against this place and against its inhabitants, and you humbled yourself before me, and you tore your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, says the Lord. Please understand, no one is suggesting that unless you demonstrate all of these outward actions that you're not really affected the way that you ought to be. Someone can be deeply affected without necessarily, tearing their clothes or having a big cry. But the internal reaction needs to be the same, right? We need to tremble at God's Word, especially when we hear things in God's Word that show us that we are not pleasing to Him. But now, what were some of the specific things, though, that he heard? And we're not told all of it, but we are given some things in the text here. What were some specific things he heard that caused such a reaction? Well, look there in verse 21. Josiah says, go inquire of the Lord for me and for those who are left in Israel and Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out on us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do according to all that is written in this book. To simplify that, what he has heard is a number of things that they are doing that are wrong and a number of things that they have failed to do that they should have been doing. And he knows that because of that, wrath is coming upon them. That's why he reacted the way that he did. And well should anybody else who hears similar words to these. Look also in verses 24 and 25. Thus says the Lord, this is from Huldah the prophetess, behold, I will bring calamity on this place and on its inhabitants. All the curses that are written in the book which they have read before the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath will not be poured out, Therefore my wrath will be poured out on this place and not be quenched. You see that? Once again, it's pretty simple. Jeremiah, or Josiah, has been exposed. Josiah and all the people have been exposed. They've been shown that they are wrong. And they know that God's wrath is coming upon them. And so you can understand why Josiah reacts in the way that he does. Now, here's another element to this reading that we need to make sure we understand. Upon learning that he and his people are wrong, upon learning that God's wrath is upon them because of this, what changes did he make? What changes did he make? What kind of action did this move Josiah to take? Well, let's start again there in verse 29. Then the king sent and gathered all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. The king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the Levites and all the people, great and small. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant which had been found in the house of the Lord. It's been read before the king, but now he wants to make sure that it's read before everyone else. You need to know these things. Verse 31. Then the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul to perform the words of the covenant that were written in this book. I haven't been doing like I should have been doing, but from this day forward, I will. I will. I have heard where I am wrong, and I know what's going to happen to me if I don't make these changes, and so from this day forward, I will follow the Lord. Well, he's not going to just stop with himself, is he? He's going to try to encourage as many others to do exactly the same. Verse 32, and he made all who were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin take a stand. So the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. Thus Josiah removed all the abominations from all the country that belonged to the children of Israel, getting all those stumbling blocks out of the way, and made all who were present in Israel diligently serve the Lord their God. All his days they did not depart from following the Lord God of their fathers. Well, I said that I need this lesson just as much as this fellow that we presented it to needed it, and you do too. I would just ask, and this is just intended for self-examination, how many times have you been exposed? How many times has a sin in your life been pointed out? And maybe you trembled at the time. Maybe it really bothered you when you first heard it. And yet, no repentance was ever forthcoming. You may have trembled to some degree, but you didn't follow through with it the way Josiah did. And it may not necessarily have been any particular sin in your life. Maybe some weakness of yours was exposed. Some area in which it's obvious you need to be growing. You say, "What? You know what? I need to get on that." Did you ever get on it? Seriously, did you ever get on it? Listen, just to make one specific application. What about us husbands? I know I've preached a number of lessons directed specifically to husbands. You've heard other lessons from other people on our responsibilities as husbands and so forth. Am I doing the same as I was doing 10 years ago, 15 years ago? Am I any better? Am I any better today than I was 15, 20, 25 years ago? Lord, we've been told in God's Word exactly the ideal that God has for us. Are we getting closer to that ideal, or are we just stuck right where we are? Now, obviously, we could go on and make all kinds of other applications. I'm not sure that we always tremble as much as we ought to. I don't know that sometimes we have that poor and contrite spirit to the degree that we ought to. Because if so, we would repent upon learning that we're in sin. We would make whatever changes are necessary in our lives. Well, again, this is what it looks like. That poor and contrite spirit, one who trembles at God's Word. I want to, though, offer a couple of examples of what it does not look like. Look with me in Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24. And I believe it'll be easy enough to see the contrast here. Acts chapter 24. Let's read verses 24 and 25. And after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid. You may be reading a translation that says Felix trembled. That's the idea anyway. Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." It seems pretty obvious from the text that, to some degree, Felix was moved by the things that he heard. And look at the three-point outline that Paul used. He spoke to him about righteousness, how to be right with God. He spoke to him about self-control. We know how vital that is. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit. And to enforce it all, what did he speak to him about? The judgment to come. And Felix was afraid. He trembled. Right? But what's the difference between him and Josiah? The trembling was not sufficient to cause him to do exactly what he needed to do. Too many times, that's the case with us. That's what we were getting at just a few minutes ago. We hear it. We tremble at it. We know it's God's Word. We know it's right. We know we ought to make the changes, and yet we never do. Here was someone who needed to obey the gospel, right? He needed to become a Christian. "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." There's at least no evidence that Felix ever did respond, even though he trembled, even though he was moved by some things he heard. I tell you, it also doesn't look like those demons that we read about in James chapter 2. James chapter 2. You remember that discussion about faith and works, how faith without works is dead? Let's pick up there in verse 17. Let's actually start up with verse 14, just to get a little bit fuller context there. James 2, beginning with verse 14. "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. And you know, we actually have examples of where demons in the life of Jesus did exactly that, right? They were in awe of Him, right? They trembled in His presence. We know they're not pleasing to Him. So it's not just trembling. It's having such a poor and contrite spirit. Knowing that in my current state, I am not pleasing God, and here are the changes that I need to make to be sure that I'm pleasing to God. That's the kind of person that God looks favorably upon. Now, this lesson was presented to someone who is lost. This lesson was presented to someone who's outside of Christ. But those of us who are inside of Christ need this just as much. Because again, we hear sermon after sermon after sermon, and as I kind of said in the beginning of the lesson this morning, you know, we don't want any of this to become monotonous, right? If the Word of God points out my sin, then that's a problem. And I need to be convicted by that. And I need to make whatever changes. Again, it may just be revealing an area in which I just need to grow so much more. Well, let's get busy. Let's get busy. You don't have to cajole and consistently admonish people who have this poor and contrite spirit. All they need, really, is to hear the Word of God. The Word of God, God says, this is what I need to do, and I tell you what, that's exactly what I'm going to do. God says I'm wrong about this, and God is always right, and so therefore I must be wrong, but I'm going to be right. I'm going to do what I need to do to be right with Him. And I'm not going to wait another day, and I'm not going to wait another week, I'm not going to wait another month, I'm going to do it right now. I'm not going to be like Felix. I'm not going to be like the demons. I'm going to be like Josiah. I'm going to get my life right, and I'm going to try to encourage as many other people as possible to get their lives right. You know, I don't know the situation of everyone here assembled this morning. It may be that you're currently studying some things on your own. It may be that some people are studying some things with you. Y'all are all kind of studying together. And it may be in the course of your own individual study or in people studying with you that you've been exposed. Now, so far you've been kind of fighting against it. You know, you've been coming up with arguments and you've been resistant to the truth for however long that you have been. It's time to quit justifying yourself. It's time to quit resisting. If the truth has been shown to you, if God's Word has been shown to you and you know it is right, it's time for you to act right now. You say, well, what is it that's keeping me back? What is it that's keeping me back? I'll tell you what's keeping you back. You don't have the Spirit, at least at this point, that Isaiah chapter 66 is talking about. Right now, you're not of a poor and contrite spirit. Right now, you are not someone who trembles at God's Word in the way that you should. Now, when you develop that spirit, when you develop that attitude, it won't be long at all until you do whatever it is you need to do to be pleasing to God. Look, this is a virtue, the virtues spoken of there in Isaiah chapter 66. Let's just be honest. They're a little bit rare. But there's no need for them to be rare among us, right? We know better. We know better. A lot of people have never been exposed to some of this teaching. In fact, the fellow that we've been studying with, he said, I've been going to church for many, many years, and I've never heard these things. Never heard them. And you feel sorry for someone like that. You have. You have heard these things. You know exactly the kind of spirit, the kind of attitude you need to have to be pleasing to God. And so let's make sure we have it. What a beautiful thing. We hear the Word of God on something. That's sufficient for me. I'm wrong about this, and I'm going to change. I need to grow in this, and I'm going to grow. I'm going to grow. On this one will I look, on him who is of a poor and contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. Now, I want to give a counterexample to Felix, and this will kind of lead us into the end of this lesson. You know, Felix heard the gospel, and he was moved. He was cut to the heart, so to speak, but wasn't willing to go any further, right? In Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. They were moved. This cut them right to the quick. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 41, then those who gladly received His word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. What does that poor and contrite spirit look like? That trembling at God's word, what does that look like? It looks like verse 41. It looks like verse 41. Because if you have that spirit, you'll do the very same thing that these 3,000 people here did. Go ahead and get out your song, but we'll sing that song of invitation here in just a moment. I won't add anything of any substance to what was just said concerning the invitation. You see what it is that you need to do there in the reading there in Acts chapter 2. If you're cut to the heart, know that you need to become a Christian, know that you need to be forgiven of your sins through Jesus Christ, you know exactly what you need to do. And we're hoping you have the very same spirit that those people did. If we can help you in any way, let it be known as we stand and sing.